This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. At Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there. Join the militia live on Twitter X Spaces at some point today. And Syracuse basketball has got another week off. And football is wrapped up as far as playing goes. Early sign-in day is complete. And we'll talk a little bit about, I guess, we can talk very, very little bit about the bowl game. That was a total disaster. And then, we'll talk about some recruiting news. And then, We'll finish up with Pitt preview. Neither team has a game between now and what is it? When they play in next Saturday? So,
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll go over that and let it simmer, and that'll be it. And we'll see you next week and a week from today. Joe. So the bowl game. Kind of troubling, I guess. I don't know. I think I expected a little bit more. I'm gonna be honest. I mean, I had better things to do, like sleep. So I shut that thing off at the half, and kind of more of the same, but with less success as far as the Wildcat goes and all of that stuff. And Braden Davis comes out, and he's kind of looks like he's got a limited playbook. He's on and off the field, and I don't know. It was kind of sloppy. The team itself didn't look prepared. There was some early miscues with the LaQuinn Allen issue. I don't know what he was really trying to do. I don't know if that was a designed play. He was gonna.
It was.
Maybe you abandon the design play when you're surrounded by defense, and could have avoided that one. But not only that, but you go to finally put points up on the board and the snaps fumbled on the field goal attempt, and that ends up being another disaster, and all the momentum with the Bulls. So I expected to score. I don't remember what the score was at the half, but I know that
31-0.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's right.
So, I did hold off and see what we could do before the half. I think it was, ended up with like 20 yards rushing or something like that, and there's just nowhere to go. And you got a third string rookie quarterback in there that just doesn't have the experience nor the time to prepare, in my opinion.
Right.
It's too bad, unfortunately. It happens, although I thought we'd be able to be creative enough to... I thought we could win the game, to be honest with you. I thought we could win the game. I didn't think it was like completely out of the realm of possibilities to win right. this game. Both teams were 6-6 coming into it, and it just... looked unprepared. Maybe Syracuse is hanging out at the beach too much and not, maybe it just wasn't taken seriously. I don't know. Just the look of it from the optics for me were not good. I'll just say that, put it that way.
No. Yeah, no, they weren't good at all. And honestly, you got 3 weeks to handle that stuff. You know, we haven't shown anything in the last 4 weeks that says that we were going to do anything different, especially considering, the last week, Garrett Schrader somehow pulled some passes, the last couple ones he had before, surgery out and won us the game. But, South Florida knew that Garrett Schrader wasn't going to be there. They knew that, who's the backup?
Carlos.
They knew he wasn't going to play, right? And so they also knew that the other guy that could throw was a freshman or Villari. So they knew exactly what they were going to do. They were going to stack the box, and they were just daring us to throw. And I think before we could even settle down and try to figure anything out, we made too many mistakes, and they scored just way too fast for an offense like that to be able to come back from. So, it just was one of those things where when that ball of shit got too big and it started rolling downhill, there was no way we were catching up to it or stopping it. So, it's just kind of is what it is. It sucks, but, I thought the same thing. Like we could sit up there and, if we could do that to an ACC team, then maybe, but we had other threats out there at that point, that the other teams had to worry about, when this was literally strictly just a worry about Villari and LeQuint. And you obviously saw that based upon, LeQuint's average and what he had as far as total rushes. So South Florida defense, their strength was against the run, and that's all we tried to do. And they were two, 3 weeks to prepare to do it. So,
I mean, you got two guys that can I know that. I've seen Villari throw the ball better than what he – I think he threw an interception, if I remember right. Two interceptions.
Two interceptions, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen him better than that. And I think that at some point they realized, this isn't going to work. We need to try to get the passing game going. And I just don't think that they prepared enough to have to do it. I thought that.
Oh, they absolutely didn't.
You got two guys that can throw. They didn't prepare enough to do it. And when it comes to plan B, they're like shit out of luck because no one knew what to do. It was just like caught him off guard so bad. And defense wasn't great either. So just all around bad. The whole thing was all around bad. It's disappointing, but predictable. Well, yeah. Right.
The problem is that what did they have? They have what, two defensive touchdowns in the
they did. The field goal attempt that I was talking about, that was a scoop and score, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then there was
one near the end of the half when it was 24-0. Yeah. So the scoop and score, you're talking, we were going down there to kick a field goal to make it 7-3. And
It doesn't feel bad at that point until all of a sudden it's 14-0.
Right. And then we punt, and then they score, then we throw an interception. You know, it was just – I mean, it wasn't like we were out of it. It's just – it got to a point to where it was just – we made way too many mistakes. So you can't have four turnovers and have two of them go for touchdowns and give them that big of a head start. You know, it just happened too early, too fast. And then once that happened, you know, we really didn't – like you said, we weren't prepared – to have to come out and try to play to come back from 21-24, let alone 31. You could kind of see that. So he was limited. Coach Nunzio talked about, you know, the things that, you know, they really tried to prepare for the stuff that they thought that was going to work and what they could do the best. And that wasn't lining Braden Davis up at the shotgun and throwing the ball around. So yeah, I mean, like, again, you want it to be better, but at the end of the day, you know, we've been talking about this the past couple weeks. I mean, then people have questioned it. You know, is Fran Brown hire and the recruits and everything like that and early signing day, has that overshadowed, you know, this season, this bowl game, everything like that? And to be perfectly honest with you, you know, I hope that there's not too many fans that took this too seriously, because obviously – they were shorthanded, had some guys in the transfer portal, shorthanded coaching staff-wise, and obviously limited in what they could do. And this is not going to be the same team we see next year. So, you know, I just wanted to see them compete and get, you know, get close, to have score some points, not get blown out. You know, it was a little embarrassing. But at the end of the day, no matter what happened with this, win or lose, get blown out or blow them out, it's not going to change and shouldn't change the excitement for the team next year.
No, it absolutely doesn't. I mean, it just caps off perfectly what the season was to some degree. I mean, the season really wasn't as bad as that bowl game, but it just is like, kind of like what I said to you, and I'm like, you know, this is why sometimes I think that this is a perfect example of why people don't look forward to meaningless bowl games, is because, I mean, at the end of the day, the game didn't mean anything. Everybody's already moved on from this year in this situation, going into this bowl game, because of all of the excitement that's surrounding Fran Brown and the recruits coming in and things like that. So, you know, just the excitement wasn't there anyway, but it just encapsulates the year really for me, because when it started to fall apart, it really fell apart. Now, you know, you get Garrett Schrader coming in and, you know, playing his heart out in the last game of the season to bring the Orange to another game and get that 13th game and become bowl eligible 2 years in a row. And that's all fine and dandy. But like I said, the Thursday night at 8 o'clock time slot fit that game perfectly for Syracuse fans, because it's like no one cared. No one cared. The Bulls cared. USF cared. That's who cared. And that's what it felt like. But, you know, it is what it is. I wasn't even mad at it. Like, I don't even think I made a noise watching that first half. I was just, you know what I mean? It was one of those ones where it's like, it doesn't mean anything. It sucks. It's kind of embarrassing, but we know what's kind of on the horizon. So let's just get this game. That's why I shut it off at half. I'm like, it's done. It's over with. Even if they come back to win, it's like, that would be awesome. But, you know, it just obviously was not trending that way, so I wasn't worried about it. But at the end of the day, you know, this is just another game that didn't mean anything. And what everybody, I think, is excited about is next year. So I don't think that there's many Syracuse fans that let this game get under their skin. I didn't really go on Twitter. I didn't ask for thoughts on the game. First of all, I wasn't up, but I didn't do it. It's been years, dude, since I haven't done that. Years. And it wasn't because I was mad. It was just because I didn't care. And I didn't think anyone else cared either. So I could be wrong. Maybe it infuriated people. I just don't believe that it did, when we know what we have coming next year. For me, to see the product on the field next year is really, really exciting. I can't wait to see what it's like. It sucks that we have to wait this long, to be honest with you. You know, but I think that, you know, we're in a good place, and that stuff, I don't think is 45-0 games. I don't think that's a thing in the future.
No. I mean, you know, we're going through so much change. South Florida, that's a team that was, you know, they spoke about it. That coach, you know, I think.
He's a kind of a lunatic, huh?
A little bit of a lunatic. And, you know, some of the comments he had under there, you know, when he went into there. No, we went out and kicked their ass, huh? Like, you know, he was a little.
It kind of really low character. You ask me, like, you don't, you shouldn't go in there and say, again, the game didn't mean anything. Obviously it meant something to him. He's going to get some hardware on his shelf, but you know, I just think it's unsportsmanlike to be a coach and a leader and talk like that about the team that you just beat, that a team that, you know, is depleted and handicapped, and you're going to go out there and brag about it. Like, you know, it's classes. That's all.
I mean, I look at it like, you know, I'm looking at it like he's trying to get his team kind of ready for the next season, right? That's kind of where I'm taking it, because it's a situation where he's a second year coach, or it was a first year or second year.
I don't know. I only don't know because I don't care.
I'm pretty sure. Well, he was an offensive coordinator from Tennessee who had, you know, a pretty good offense. And, you know, that's just two different signs of a team. They talked about them winning four or five more games, hadn't been to a bowl game in like quite some time. It was in South Florida. You know, it's a lower conference playing against the ACC. So they had they were pumped up and had all the reason in the world to want to go out there. And that was like, you know, their Super Bowl for the season, for all intents and purposes. And for us, it was kind of the opposite. You know, we had main guys hurt. We had guys in the transfer portal. We didn't have our coaches there. We've already fired a coach. Then there's all this outside noise. You know, I think as far as our players go, I'm not going to speak for them. Obviously, they wanted to win the game. You want to go out with a win. But just being able to just get in a bowl game, practice a couple extra weeks, and then go down to Florida in the middle of the winter from Syracuse and be able to just enjoy yourself a little bit.
yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying?
That's my problem.
They might have lost, but I think they still won a little bit.
Yeah, they won a vacation. That's what they won.
They won extra practices and vacation. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, dude, like I said, it doesn't mean anything. I felt bad, like...
And if you don't think Fran Brown wasn't down there recruiting during that, you're crazy.
Yeah, well, I wonder what he thought. There was a couple other guys there, too. I think there was a couple other guys there. Kyle McCord, I think, was there. And there was someone else, too, I think. So, speaking of which, let's talk about the incoming class, Joe. They've got their... according to 247, Cuse Nation, their transfer rank is 13th, and their composite rank on the recruits coming in is 46, and it gives them an overall rank of 35, which is this up to date? I'm pretty sure it is, because nothing's happened.
I thought our transfer portal rate was better than that, but...
Well, we just had Josh Miller was the only one since... Early signing day. It came, yesterday, I think? So,
early signing day, I think, was Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh, was it? Okay. Anyway, according to 247, that's what it is. Transfer rank 13th, composite rank 46, with an overall rank of 35, which is the best so far in the modern era for Syracuse football. So, there's no doubt that Fran has the ability to recruit. And, you know, I think I'm with Joe on the stars and stuff, you know, like the star rankings, you know, it's just whatever to me. We saw what they did to Fadil Diggs, what Rivals did anyway. 247 still got him as a 4. And there was the King Joseph, right? Didn't they knock him down to a 3, too? He was supposed to be a 4, I think.
No, it wasn't him. It was
Zed Haynes.
I think it was Hornsby. The receiver transfer from Texas A&M.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, he's not even on this list. Anyway, he's not on the list, and maybe that's why you think that the rankings a little better. He's not on this list according to 247. Anyway.
What, transfer?
Yeah, the transfers I got here are.
Oh yeah, no, he was a recruit. He was a recruit. So.
Oh yeah. Okay, you said transfer out of Texas A&M.
Oh yeah, sorry, he was a flip. My bad. Oh,
okay,
we flipped.
Oh, from Texas. I gotcha. What was his name?
Jalen Hornsby.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, 247 has him as a three as well. So a couple of that, the King Joseph thing, it was a big spectacle. I really hope he shows up. Okay. And I'm fine. I mean, look, these kids do these kids, you know, obviously I think that, he is, a good character guy, you know, but they announce however they want to announce all that. That's fine. But you know, if you're going to put on a show like that, you know, I want to see a show on the field too. So I'm really excited though about this Jamie Tremble, because I remember Coach Fran talking about using tight ends. You know, we got a 4-star tight end coming in, right? He was 23rd in the state and 13th in his position out of Georgia.
Yeah.
So nationally 196. So I'm super, super excited about Jamie Tremble. And then of Elijah Washington from Norfolk. I love the local guys from my area going and playing for my team. I think it's awesome. So, I'm pretty excited to see him. He was ranked 19th in the state. So, and then when I was looking at these earlier, there was another one I was pretty excited about. King Joseph. That was the other one. Those three I got my eye on as far as recruits go. But you know, we've got three offensive linemen in here, right, Joe? Really, Willie Goodacre, Noah Rosahack, and then the Joshua Miller. So we've got. Right. It looks like you got a lot of offensive talent. You know, between some of the transfers, obviously Kyle McCord and Zeed Haynes. You got Jackson Meeks and. The one you just mentioned there, the receiver,
Jalen Hornsby. And we also flipped Emmanuel Ross, who's a higher ranked receiver than Hornsby from Stanford as well. So we definitely have some offensive firepower coming in, some edge rushers, and even defensive linemen. You know, but yeah, no, I mean, I think the most important thing is really. That Joshua Miller, that transfer was actually pretty key. And I see Kyle McCord out there on the socials trying to get some guys and everything like that. I just, you know, that's really the main thing is I don't want this to turn into a Deion Sanders situation where he got all these athletes, but then he doesn't get, you know, the offense and the defensive lines be able to take care of it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the good thing is that, you know, we're only losing – Chris Bleich on the offensive line going into next year so far. I mean, that's barring anybody going into the transfer portal.
And we look to have Joe Moore back. And,
yes.
And there was another one, I thought. Oh,
Wallaba,
yeah.
Yep. You know, and then we bring this transfer over from Georgia, which you're hoping, because that's the one thing is you can look at the high school recruits. I'm never going to expect. A high school recruit, especially, you know, a 3-star recruit coming in as an offensive lineman and say that they're going to be ready to go out there and start and actually dominate on the offensive line. You know, I'd say the good thing is the returning talent, you know, the fact that he's bringing in different strength coaches and different coaching staffs. And we got this transfer coming in. But I said the bad thing is that most of the guys returning on it. I mean, that was our trouble was pass blocking. So. Kyle McCord's great, but we need the guys that are going to keep him upright. And
he's not going to be able to perform if we don't have an offensive line. Looks like they're trying, and I don't know how many. I think if I remember right, how many scholarships are left? Obviously, I think we're over right now, but I think obviously they're planning on, you know, probably some people leaving and stuff like that. I don't know if we can look that up real quick, but. You have to imagine there's plans of shoring up the offensive line. It's obviously an issue. It's been an issue. Oh, yeah. I don't think that Fran Brown's just going to put a bunch of athletic guys in specialty positions and, you know, and just expect that this is going to totally turn around, because obviously that's wishful thinking, but not bright. And I think he knows what he's doing.
Right.
So, you've got the specialty positions pretty well full on offense. It looks really good.
Yeah.
And, you even have a few pretty awesome ones on defense. So,
Yeah, there's guys to look forward to, and especially considering that, I mean, we haven't even spoken, but Rondae Gadsden has made it official that he's coming back too.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if Alford's a senior, if he doesn't have any more eligibility or not, but you're talking about having a chance of returning all these receivers, plus getting two transfer receivers in from Georgia, and then a Rondae coming back, and there's probably going to be a couple more that are in the fold there, so... Obviously, we know that there's, you know, the transfer thing isn't over with, you know, National Signing Day is until February 7th or something like that. So we still got a couple months. And, you know, I would just say that I don't know exactly what the, you know, how many scholarships that we have, but I know that we've gotten seven people to transfer to the 14 that are apparently outgoing transfers. So, you know, whatever it was.
What was it? You said 17 to 14?
No, seven to 14. We have 14 players that have announced they're going into the transfer portal, and we've only gotten seven transfers. So I don't think that scholarships is going to be an issue, especially considering that as far as high school goes, I don't think that we had, but 18, 19, something like that?
I looked. I can't find. There's like no
real. 18. 18 commits.
18 so, yeah, commits. So. Nine of them are from New Jersey, I think.
Something like that.
It's some ridiculous, yeah.
Right. So you got to figure we brought in 18 commits and we have seven transfers. That's what, 25, but we have 14 leaving. So really, we've only added 11, you know, scholarships to our roster. So, you know, I would say that, you know, we definitely have the capability and the space to go out there and get what we need. So. You know, it was nice to get these guys, but I still think that, you know, it could be a possibility that some of the better transfers are yet to come. Because as spots start to get taken up, you know, you got to go somewhere. And now he's got 2 months to basically, I know there's a couple high school recruiting guys that, and there's one guy that's going to be, I think Marcus Barnes Jr., he's a corner or a safety or something. He's going to be announcing in an All-American game on January 6th. But other than that, you basically got 2 months to fill your team out with whatever else you can find in transfers, and there's still plenty of talent out there.
Yeah, I agree. But we'll see. It's exciting. I'm sure this is going to be, you know, news on the weekly. Kind of overshadowing basketball a tiny bit, but, I mean, it makes sense. I understand why. There hasn't been this much buzz about recruiting in quite some time, and you know, I understand it, so we'll keep an eye on it. You said February, yeah, that's right. I think that's right. February what?
7th, 6th or 7th, something like that, yeah.
So obviously, we'll revisit it again and we'll talk about them as they come up. I think, I'm looking for a strong offensive line, and if they can do that, dude, I think this offense would be almost unstoppable.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, too. A lot of our guys, you know, they still got, you know, offensive linemen still got 2-3 years of, you know, eligibility and stuff like that. So, you know, it's not like we don't have guys that are capable. You know, we just need to bring in just a few guys that are going to be able to fill those gaps. So, I think Josh Miller's one of them. It's a start. I know that there's a couple out there from Texas A&M and some other schools, so hopefully it works out. We'll see, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. Syracuse is going to host Pitt this. Are we doing picks? Are we going to do that?
Nah.
No? This guy.
Okay, sure.
This guy just gets handled in football season on picks, and all of a sudden he doesn't want to play anymore.
Oh, is that okay? Come on. Is that why you think I said that? No. Okay, well, then fine. I'll do picks.
We usually do ACC. I just usually have a sheet, and I don't. So I'll figure that out. But
okay.
I mean, you know, try to keep track of those things. But anyway, December 30th at 12 p.m., Syracuse is going to host Pitt. The all-time series between Syracuse and Pitt sits at 74-50 in favor of the Orange. This will be the 125th meeting between the two teams. Pitt is currently on a three-game win streak, and they've actually won five out of the last six. Last year's 99-82 loss was Mintz, Gerard, Edwards, Taylor, and Williams in your starting five, and Benny with 24 points in that game. Syracuse had a 36-22 record against Pitt in the Big East. The two schools only met in the Big East tournament five times in 30 years of conference play, with Syracuse going 4-1 against the Panthers, according to orangehoops.org. Both of these teams have the same exact record. They're both 9-3, 0-1 in the conference. And Pitt has losses to Florida, Missouri, and Clemson. You know, Clemson's, they're playing pretty good ball. I've watched them a couple times. Florida, Missouri, I have not put eyes on them at all. So they're currently on a four-game win streak over West Virginia. Jesse Edwards with 20 points in that game. Canisius, South Carolina State, and Purdue, Fort Wayne. Some of you might remember Blake Hinson from last year. He only played in one of the games, but the one he did play in, he dropped 25 points over the Orange in that two-point win. He, like I mentioned, he didn't play in the second game, but this year he's averaging over 20 points a game. He's hit 45 threes so far this year at a clip of 46%, 45-98. So he's almost thrown up 100 of them. Juxtapose that with Bell, who's leading our team with 30. He's 30-80, which is not terrible, 37.5%. Hinson, he's followed up by a couple of guards. Ishmael Leggett, a Rhode Island transfer, he's averaging 13.9 points a game. And freshman Carlton Carrington, who is averaging 13.8 points a game. So between those three guys, they cover just about 48 of the 81 points that Pittsburgh averages per game. Pitt is 44.9% from the floor, 68.4% from the line, and 34.6% from three. So a lot of offensive firepower for Pitt, and we've seen how that can go. You know, this Hinson, though, is a problem. And if he gets hot, then that's going to be tough. And we saw against Niagara, actually, how some good three-point shooting by one guy can keep you in the game, if not just take control of the game. And this guy's got the ability to do it. So Syracuse, been a couple years since we've gotten a win against Pitt. And, you know, I feel like this team's better. I feel like this team can do it. I feel like the defense is better. And we'll just have to see how they stack up against some of these shooters. And throw it all at it. It's home game. You know, I got to imagine, you know, a conference play at home on a Saturday afternoon. You know, I know the Saturday noon stuff's tough, but, you know, it's conference play now. So it's time to get after it and fill that place and make some damn noise. And that at least going to give us a little bit of an edge there, but we'll see what happens. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, so some of this comes down to the fact of when you look at their schedule, especially non-conference schedule, it's always tough to –
It is.
It's always tough to figure out because they do got a lot of winnable, easy games in there, right?
Yeah.
You know, I do know that that they lost, obviously, to Missouri and Clemson and Florida, which, again, I would say that those losses are probably lower-tier losses to the teams that we've lost to as far as if you want to, you know, kind of compare.
Yeah, well, they are. Clemson's pretty good, though. I mean, they were.
No. Clemson's ranked. Yeah, I mean, I get that. But you know, Florida and Missouri isn't Tennessee and Gonzaga, right? So,
correct.
And you know, when you actually look at their wins, you know, they did get a win in a tournament game on a neutral court against Oregon State, and they won by 24. So, you know, in 24 against a Power Five school. That's pretty good, and they won at West Virginia, too, by 17. And I will let you know that I do work with a guy from West Virginia, and they had a situation where may have a transfer, like one of their best players that's supposed to play that got denied the transfer, and he hadn't been able to play. And they also had a transfer point guard from Arizona that was suspended for the first, you know, 9 or 10 or 11 games of the season. So West Virginia has been not that great. They only go in 6 or 7 deep earlier in the year. Jesse Edwards and some other guy. I don't know.
I mean, they're 5 and 7.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so West Virginia, though, they played actually yesterday without Jesse Edwards, and Raekwon Battle actually, you know, obviously the state got involved, kind of like the Tez Walker situation with North Carolina.
They lost against Radford, bro.
I know, but that's what I'm telling you, is that West Virginia, they didn't look good early in the season because they literally only had like 7 players that could play. But, you know, they played Toledo yesterday and they didn't have Jesse Edwards and Raekwon Battle, who's finally became eligible, and then the point guard from Arizona, and that guy had 29 points. So, and the point guard from Arizona had 12 points and 10 assists. So this West Virginia team is going to be, it's going to look like a better win, what I'm saying, is down the line. West Virginia is going to look like a better team down the line. But what I'm also saying is they beat a West Virginia team that really wasn't that great. So it's hard to get a gauge on them. And when you look at Pittsburgh last year, you know, they had, what, Burton and Elliott and Nelly Cummings. They had all these point guards that, you know, they have Henson and Federico and Diaz Graham. I mean, they had a deep team, guys that could shoot threes. And, you know, this year they're kind of replacing those three as far as Cummings, Elliott, and Burton with some freshmen.
They're not extremely deep either. I mean,
Carrington is a freshman and Lowe is a freshman, guards. And I think what Leggett is, junior, that is a transfer out of, Rhode Island. So their guard play isn't nearly as good as it's been in the past couple of years. And, you know, obviously now they're going more towards, you know, obviously Henson's Jeffress, he plays good defense, but not great at scoring. You know, and Diaz Graham, the Diaz Graham twins, obviously, I think Guillermo is a little bit better than his brother, getting, depending by the minutes, 31 minutes to 10 minutes last game. So, and then they have Zach Austin, who's a forward, 6'7", 210, transfer from High Point, who's been putting in good minutes. And don't forget about Federico. So, I mean, they have names here that we've seen before. But I think that a lot of those guys, minus Blake Henson, were really kind of just role players on the side of all the three guards they played last year. And I just don't think that they necessarily replaced them as well as they could have. So, you know, we will see. Diaz Graham and Henson have given us problems, but at the same time, and that was in the zone. I think they had a perfect, you know, team to play against our zone last year. And I don't think they have the guard play this year, so now we're playing man. So we'll see. I mean, they could very well come out and beat us, but I just think that it's a way better matchup for us this year than last year, for sure.
Well, I think that, what, you know, we've seen some people explode a little bit, but I just feel like the defense is better this year. They're getting, the rotations are better, and when, you know, and the man, I think, has changed things a little bit. And it's kind of weird that you know, with just about the same guys, the difference. I mean, I know it's a year, a little bit of growth, you know, there, but, you know, to change it up a little bit like that, it's been noticeably different. And when you think about what Syracuse has done as far as how far they've come in their defense this year, I feel like it's promising. And, like, you know, we don't know what their floor or their ceiling is this year because they've just been consistently good. And, you know, we'll see. There's always that doubt in my in my head, though, when you got a guy that's hit 45 threes. That 45 threes on the year so far, and I understand the competition and all of that needs to be taken into consideration, but you still got to hit the shots. I mean, you're not out there by yourself shooting them. So 45 is a lot. He's taken 98. And believe me, that's going to be their game plan. I mean, that's what they're going to be trying to do. They're going to be trying to just light it up from the outside. And those other two guards are not terrible either, from three, you know.
No.
30%.
Carrington and Leggett? Yeah. No.
So,
no, they're not terrible. But again, like I said, I mean, it's I think that, you know, last year they had, they were guard heavy, and then they had Hinson and Graham and stuff like that that helped with the whole situation. And then they're playing against the zone. So, but this year I think, you know, them losing their guards and then us picking up guys like, you know, J.J. Starling and Kyle Cuff, and then, you know, Quaidier Copeland getting a year of growth to where I think the game slowed down and he's getting experience, yeah. Right? So, like, you take those four, and especially considering Quaidier Copeland could, whether another team goes small with three guards or they stay, I mean, he's still big enough to guard, you know, a traditional small forward guy. So, I mean, you bring in those guys, now you have, and you're playing man, and those guys all play pretty good D. So, I think that that has a lot to do with our defense and everything like that. You know, I mean, we have really good guards. We're deep, and we're just going to throw waves at you. And so you got to be deep in that situation or in that position on a team. And when I see, you know, Carrington and Leggett both playing around 30 minutes a game, you know, I don't know how deep they go as far as guards go. Because I'm only seeing like last game.
They don't go
again.
Deep on guards. They got the low in Hewitt. You know, we're talking about, let's see.
I mean, last game against Purdue Fort Wayne, they only played, what, Leggett, Carrington, and then Lowe were the only guards, right? And then it's probably they're looking at a Jeffress or a Blake Hinson playing. So they're a taller team, and it's just, it's going to be interesting to see how we match up against them. You know, well, who's going to play against Blake Hinson? Are we going to be able to guard him? Because they are going to be bigger and tougher down low. So we're going to have to be able to. I mean, Benny, if Benny can go in and play, yeah, it's going to be huge. But we're going to need him. We're going to need, obviously, Brown to play. And, you know, I mean, McLeod.
How quick before McLeod just gets yanked? I mean, it seems like, with all that, it'd be kind of a struggle. And then offensively with Judah, you know, when he has trouble getting inside, that's his game. And when he has trouble there, he struggles. I mean, and then, you know, you can almost take him out of the game, basically.
Yeah. And that's, well, I think, I mean, the key, I think one of the big keys here is I think we're going to have to be able to hit three-pointers in this game. Because with their height and with the way that they guard, I don't think we're going to be able to just drive in, you know. So, I mean, obviously three-point shots, and if we can hit some outside shots early, you know, utilize the pump fake, and obviously, you know, moving the ball, you know, driving, penetrating, dishing it off to the wide-open guys, that's really what you're going to want to look for. And, I mean, yeah, it's just where it is. If we're going to sit there and we're going to drive and hope that we get fouled and go inside those trees, you know, then that's going to be tough. And obviously, like you said, Hinson can step back and shoot threes. Diaz Graham can step back and shoot threes. That's why, and he's pretty athletic too as a 7-footer. That's why, you know, it's going to be tough for Naheem, but, you know, we still got to figure out ways to use him so that he's, you know, beneficial for us. We're going to need him in certain instances. And, you know, I don't know if Malik Brown can guard Diaz Graham at 7 foot, 220. So, I mean, only time will tell, but well, it's just going to be a different Pittsburgh team than we saw the last year. So,
yeah, and you know, not only that, but it's Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
and I mean, they're just so loathsome. I can't stand their fans. It's so obnoxious.
No one wants to lose to Pittsburgh, man. Come on, man. No one ever wants to. I mean, no, especially Syracuse.
They're on three in a row right now. They've had our number. They've actually had our number.
Both sports
for a few years now, and playing them twice a year. You know, Jeff Capel's been, he's done a pretty good job, and coming over from Duke to they did the transfer portal thing, right? Didn't they do that last year? Weren't they one of the teams that just threw everything they could at it from the portal last year?
Yeah, I mean, they brought in some guys, yeah.
So anyways,
I know Nelly Cummings is one of them, so
yeah. But you know, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say this game's got me a little nervous, mostly because it's the games that you really, really, really want to win, just no matter what, just you seem to get, if you really, really want to win them, you're going to be nervous anyway. So it's kind of nerve-wracking for me, this one. So it's at home. That's what I like about it. I just hope we can show up. Anyways.
Ken Pom's got them ranked 44th to our 86th. So I don't know. Anybody who likes those type of...
Again, though, like, they've played one really good team.
Right.
Really good team. We've played three really good teams. All ranked.
That's true.
So, and you know, it wasn't is. I mean, the ugliest one was probably Virginia, but the other two weren't even that ugly until the very end, you know, and that was early in the season. So, but again, you know, Virginia really did not let Judah penetrate, and that's where things go south. So that's a concern. All right. Let's start our predictions off. We should have done Virginia, but we didn't. That's fine. We're full-blown conference play now, though. So, and we got Duke next after this. So, buckle up.
Buckle up, Buttercup.
Buckle up. Here we go. All right. So, I think it's going to be close. And I don't know. I don't really have any idea how to guess this score. So, I'm just going to, like, pencil whip it. But I think it's gonna be a close game, and I'm gonna pick Syracuse to win, mostly because I need them to for my own personal satisfaction. So I'm gonna say Syracuse wins at home, snapping this 3-game win streak of Pitt's, 72-69. That's all I got, Joe. That's your turn.
All right. Yeah, I'm kind of going to go with them for the same reasons. So, and I'm going to go Syracuse 75, Pittsburgh 73.
All right. Okay. We'll see what happens.
We shall see. Like I said, I'm more worried about, you know, how our offense shows up against their defense. So
I'm worried about both. So I think both are a concern. Honestly. I understand if you gotta pick one. I mean, maybe you're right. But there's I don't wanna say there's drastic negatives, but there's some pretty significant negatives to each side of that, each side of the ball. All right. Oh, man, I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas Eve. And I gotta start cooking here. You know, it starts early. It's just two full days of cooking. Yeah, I do the cooking now for here and bring over to my dad's house. I'm not doing the main, but, you know, and then tomorrow we just hang out. Tomorrow's like the one day a year that I don't get changed. I mean, you know, I loaf.
Wait, time out.
Hold on.
You want to restart?
I loaf around. Some pajama pants and t-shirt type thing, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And then, you know, just be lazy. Drink coffee, and then my wife and I will kill a bottle or two of champagne with the mimosas. And then, you know, maybe a midday nap. I don't know. We'll see. I know there's football on tomorrow too. So which is. I kind of like that aspect that, you know, that what they've been
there's
doing.
There's NBA too.
What's NBA? I love the NFL though on Christmas Day. I really do. I think it's great, you know? I like how they do more than, you know, one. It used to be one game on Thanksgiving for the longest time, wasn't it? Now you have three time slots to last you all day, right? And, you know, even if it's not great matchups, it's still football and, you know.
Hey.
What were the Giants playing?
Is that a shot?
No, I don't even know. The Giants playing?
Yeah, the Giants are playing.
Who are they playing?
Some of the Raiders.
I know the Raiders are playing. Who are the Giants
playing? Raiders are playing the Chiefs at 1. Yeah, Giants are playing the Eagles at 4:30.
Oh, my gosh. Sounds like two ass kickings.
Sounds like it does. At our team's expenses.
Yeah.
And then Ravens and 49ers at 8:15, both 11-3. So that's a possible Super Bowl matchup right there, buddy.
Yeah, I just got to get, you know, I've got some, I'm in the championship semifinals. I just need some fantasy players to show up. And
I got two. I'm in two semifinals, and I have a lot of fantasy players on Christmas night. So.
Oh, okay. I do as well. I have a few. So anyways, my point is this. So I want everybody to have a Merry Christmas. Enjoy the family, you know, be safe. Enjoy the time off from work if you have it. And I took an extra day, so 4-day weekend. And then, you know, go to work for 3 days and take 3 days off again. So for the new year. So anyways. I don't do anything for New Year's, though.
Perfect.
So I can't stay up past 10 o'clock. I was up till 11 o'clock last night watching that Bills game, actually.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised.
I know. Well, I had Josh Allen in the Bills defense, my fantasy team. So I was like, I'm picking up the Bills defense. Someone dropped their Bills defense, and they're playing the Chargers. This is points, man. This is some points right here. And no, it wasn't.
No, yeah.
I mean, this is a Chargers team that got, you know, 63 points scored on them against the Raiders. And it goes down to the wire with Buffalo. It makes absolutely no sense.
None whatsoever. And the funny thing about that is my two semifinal matchups, you know who my defenses are? One of them's Philadelphia. Okay, and the other one is Kansas City.
Oh, is it?
That sounds like points to me.
Does it?
Yes, it does.
The Kansas City's defense isn't that great this year.
All right.
Well, we'll see what happens. The Raiders, yeah. You know, the Raiders have definitely flopped on a couple of the past few years with the Kansas City Chiefs games. But generally speaking, it can be one way or the other very, very quick.
Yeah, that's true.
Where is it? It's in the Arrowhead. It doesn't matter where it is because every game for the Raiders is an away game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's at Arrowhead.
Yeah, that's going to suck.
Yeah, just like we're at Lincoln Financial Field.
So, anyways, all right. That's it. That's all I got. Okay, look. I know it wasn't that exciting today, but try to give you a little something. Talk about some basketball. Let's get excited for basketball.
Yeah.
Excitement for football is what it is. Let's get excited for some basketball. I think it's going to get good. So, anyways, go Cuse. We'll see y'all next week. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.